Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
G'day guys, welcome to another episode. Before we get too far into it, could you please like, subscribe, share, comment, literally anything that you can do. It'll help out a lot. Thank you. Welcome back to another episode. And today we've got Andrew Musa from Ground Level Media and Marketing, all the way down from Sydney. I did really well. I'm getting better at the introductions.
Did very well.
Tell us about you and what you do.
My name's Andrew. I'm the owner of Ground Level Media. We are a construction media company based in Sydney. We are a national company. And we like to bring construction projects to life on camera.
Ooh, I know a little bit more about you guys, which we'll talk about later, but you're not just in Australia anymore. I see lots of shit from – I've been watching you for a few years now, lots of shit from around the world coming. So
yeah.
Look forward to diving into that. But – talk to us about things that you notice around the industry. Talk to us a bit things about you notice about the social media platforms and what you think companies can do to help elevate themselves here. Because I know you'd get that question a lot, so we may as well just kick that off at the very beginning.
Yeah, so I've noticed in the last, say, 3 to 5 years, the construction industry has become a lot more competitive in its both tendering process and branding. The thought process behind it is that if you're not really branding yourself and making yourself obtainable to your client, other companies will. So you need to be at the forefront of showing off your capability visually to both the public and the clients that you're after.
I like that. That's a good snapshot. Now, I'm going to play devil's advocate on the other side here and fuck this up a little bit.
Let's go.
Because I think you are 1,000,000% spot on up until last year or maybe start of this year. And then all of a sudden, every single bloke on the internet, or girl, both, is putting out the same content of the same job sites, different name on the arm of the digger, and not one person gives a fuck anymore. No one cares, you know. Like, don't get me wrong, you sort of have to have it too. But now I'm scrolling socials and everyone's got these drones flying around diggers. And, you know, unless you're doing a really cool job, how do you stand out?
You're exactly right. I guess in the last 12 months especially, it is through your feeds constantly you're seeing dozers, excavators, the same old stuff, rock music blaring, and it's getting a little bit much.
Nickelback's sick though. Like, everyone needs a film clip with Nickelback behind it. So very good.
Note to the team, put Nickelback in there, please, for the next video. But yeah, I think how to stand out in this market now is way more challenging than what it was 3 years ago. We certainly notice it ourselves in our own business. We create high quality content for our clients and we try and position that as the difference to just making a bunch, coming to your site and making a bunch of Instagram reels. So,
but I have and nothing to do with age, because I don't care how old you are. There's killers who are 20 and there's absolute duds who are 50. So the age is not a bad thing, but I am trying to show something. I have 20-year-olds come to site with an iPhone. I don't even know what number they're up to, 14. It's got three cameras on the back. Be there for 3 minutes, film something, and then bam, 100,000 views. And then I pay a guy to come with, I don't know, fucking VR drone on his face and, you know, like six cameras like we've got in this room, and then the video goes nowhere. How do you combat that? Because the guy with the iPhone, he'll do it for $200.
Yep. Okay, so who are you targeting with your content is my first question.
Mm-hmm.
Are you targeting the masses on Instagram for your vanity metrics, or are you actually creating a brand and content that when you're tendering a project and a site engineer or the contractor looks at your pages, because they do, they look at your website, they look at your LinkedIn, and they definitely look at your Instagram, do you want to be that client that has all these trending reels going, or do you want to have a brand that has a strong presence, professional output? Because that's what we do. And that's what we believe in. I won't bend. We could go and do the flashy stuff and do the 2 minute and iPhone stuff and get your FPV out and fly around like crazy. But for us, it's all about creating solid brands with our clients. We don't falter from that, because
I was at a meeting yesterday, right? And so I will 110% back you. My company is at a size that is something, I suppose. It's not a zero, you know, not fucking doing the vanity stuff, but it's not a zero. And everyone knows I've got pink diggers for girls, women in construction and all of that shit. And I had someone look at me in a social procurement space and said, love the content you've put out about the women in construction. Think it's brilliant, fantastic. Now, that is not the flashy stuff. That's almost the stuff that's getting lost, because there's a lot of companies doing that sort of space as well in terms of saying how good they are sponsoring a charity event on the weekend. You know, like, look at us, we sponsored this. But it is looked at, is what I'm trying to say behind it. You know, like, sure, it might be a bit wanky, and sure, it might look like, oh, look at us, we're doing so good. But then in some space, it's important.
It is.
That person saying to me yesterday in front of a big room of people in a tender interview, I looked at your stuff and I think it's really great what you're doing.
Sitting up a little bit. Yeah. And that's where it's important, that I believe it has to be quality and you have to be consistent.
Yep.
So you've obviously got a good team behind you with your media and what they do.
Yeah.
And I think continuing that is the success of your brand online, because it's your business card when you're asleep.
Yep. The branding has got me now into a space where opportunities have that I never ever would have thought that I could get to have landed. Not landed, but you have to work for them. But they've come to me in a way that, well, anyone who says that social media is a waste of time, well, in 10 years, they're going to be in deep shit. Although it might be 20 years, but they can still build a good company. They can still get it, but there's just something that you're not exploring. Agreed. And that's bad business.
Agreed. And it's just one of the things you need to be doing in this day and age. I just don't think that it's appropriate for a construction business in this industry, being so competitive that it is, not having their portfolio online, not showing out what they can do. Like, you know, we also had this problem right at the very start. We didn't have any content. We didn't know what we were doing. We were all just like, right, we are going to create quality content for businesses to help them attract larger clients. And we're going to do this because I'm passionate about it.
Yep.
And for the first 12 months, nobody knew who we were. It's only until you start building that portfolio online and people start looking at your website, looking at your LinkedIn, looking at your Instagram and going, hey.
And you have to keep posting.
And keep posting.
And if you only got 4 likes, keep posting. I don't know what it is about my content. I've always been very lucky. I don't know if it's sometimes the raw stuff, sometimes it's the authentic stuff, sometimes it's when I'm pissed off, I'll post my brain on the paper and then just send it when most people don't. That I've been very lucky with the engagement. But I still post 3, 4, 5 times a week, so an actual post, and then stories every day, and I've done it for a decade.
Yep.
And I've never stopped, and I always keep posting. The longest time I would have gone without posting anything would maybe be a week and a half. Wow. That's it. Ever.
Ever. Ever. Okay, that's pretty impressive. I mean, yeah. You're right, though.
And then people say, oh, how did you get to 50,000 followers? And you go, well, every other day I'm posting.
Don't stop.
And I post stories and my engagement. I've got 900,000 views on my account, on one of my accounts this month. I've got 1,000 followers this week from some more viral posts from this stuff, because that's the other thing, that what niche are you finding and how do you find the niches in marketing is the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do it? How do you sell that you're going to be able to make a company stand out? Because you do. I know the companies that you are promoting, and this is by no means an advertisement for you either.
Mm-hmm.
But you are good at what you do, and how do you do that? Because there's guys out there who can't afford a media company that are looking to make content. How do they do it?
For guys that can't afford the media content? Look, I think they need to start just by having a crack. Just start putting up stuff that they would be happy to see online of their business. They need to have an idea of this is what I want my business to look like and start working slowly towards that goal, whether it's a story a day, whether it's a post a day. Start with your iPhone if you have to. Once you start getting the hang of it and you want to take it up a notch, you can purchase a camera. You can enlist someone like us. You can find – there's a million of us out there now.
Yeah, that's the other issue. How do you stand out yourself now? Like, fuck, it's hard.
3 years ago, it was much easier. There was only probably two or three in the country. I reckon there's about 15 or 20 of us now at least.
And decent stuff too, yeah?
Decent,
like,
yeah.
They've got – they're not – they're no slouches. They're putting out good content. They're working hard, traveling around, and there's a space there. There's a need for it.
There's plenty of room for everybody, I always say. I mean, look, there's over 36,000 construction companies in Australia alone. But, yeah, how to stand out against them, you just got to put your head down and just not look at the noise and just keep going forward is how I've always looked. There's always going to be someone better. There's always going to be someone cheaper. But what can they do – what do you do differently to them? For me, it's the passion. We really care about our clients. We really care about the projects, and I get really excited about what we do. I actually love getting involved. So people go, you still go and film? I turn up to site and they're like, oh, you're here today filming. When's your drone guy coming? I'm like, I'm the drone guy.
Yes.
And they're like, what?
You're looking at him.
Yeah. Like, I'm here. Like, because I care and I absolutely love it. And I'll keep doing it till I can't move my hands.
It's real interesting because I kept driving trucks and diggers. Like, and so we've got enough. We move a lot of dirt. I've got a lot of blokes and a lot of everything. I was still driving diggers sometimes 3 years ago. You know, 100 and something people at work and I'm sitting in a machine throwing dirt at trucks. If you really are passionate about it, then it does elevate you above most of the others who might think it's just a job.
Mm.
You have the guy who I interviewed that's a bit going a bit viral, that Jerry.
Yes.
He wrote a book called Make Your Hobby Your Job. I can guarantee you, you've always liked photos, you've always liked taking them, filming, blah, 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 blah. You know, you've always engaged in brands or whatever. I've always liked digging.
Yeah.
You know, so it's not a chore. But other days it's really good. Other days you'd sit down and look at what you've created and gone,
yeah. Some days it's an absolute slog. You've got a client tapping on your shoulder, film this, come over here, film that, run over here. And you're going, okay, what am I actually doing with my life? And then other days you're going, this is the best job ever. And you just have that wave. But, you know, you never lose track of what you're actually doing it for. And it's, yeah.
Yeah, I also think that historically, construction companies have been, apart from like the big dogs, the multinationals, whatever, has been just such an insular market that you post in your post in your local paper that you dig a pool, or, you know, even when you get a little bit bigger, it's very hard to move states and whatever else. And now even small-time construction people can end up being worldwide or worldwide names.
100%. You know?
And a few years ago, someone called me up. They were actually from America talking about an Amazon data center and, you know, like talking about, what's your capability like in America? I watch your stuff online and you go, my capability is fuck all, zero in America.
Yep.
However, you're on the phone talking to a guy about some data center that's like ridiculous. And he goes, because I just don't know who to talk to about it, you know, and
coming
blah, blah,
out,
blah.
Coming out and do it for us,
And I reckon if I... maybe if I was older or richer or something. And he said, what's your capability in America? Because if he had have said anywhere close, I would have gone, yeah, no problem, bud.
Yeah, we can do it. We'll be there tomorrow. How many
do you use? I'll send them. The float's coming and I'm going to catch a plane. I'll come see it. Because that's what we do now, you know. Got a big job on? No problem. I'm coming.
Yep. Say yes, work it out later.
Wait right there because I'm getting it sorted as we speak.
Yep.
You know, don't hang up the phone and call anyone else.
Yep.
And where does that come from? Social media. Mm-hmm. You know, the opportunity that I got to go see the Chinese equipment, and I travelled around, and anyone who's followed that sort of story.
I follow that. Yep.
You see, we went and I went to all of the different manufacturers over there. Do you know all I had to do? Like I'd reached out to a guy online and be like, hi, and they're like, perfect, come. Whenever you need to come, you let us know. We'll take you around. We'll book your hotel. We'll do this, blah, blah, blah. If there was no social media and I emailed them, it would have gone to their junk.
Yeah. Who's Starbucks?
Yeah.
Whatever. Is this a scam? Yeah, look, it's definitely opening up doors, social media for companies, you know, yours, mine, many others internationally.
Oh, you see my segue here. I'm good at this, aren't I?
I know exactly where you're going.
Episode 13 and I'm getting it dialed. So, strange. I got to go to Chinese factories for my social media. Where has your social media around the world led you?
You already know the answer to this one. So, I've been fortunate enough to work with a number of companies in Australia over the years, and it got the attention of some people overseas. I've been able to work in the United Arab Emirates or the UAE, Dubai, and the Emirates around.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
I've been to Abu Dhabi, and most recently we did a small job in Northern Ireland or the north of Ireland, depending on who you are and how you look at it. And it's really interesting.
Are they two different things, the north and the Northern Ireland? Because I understand, I'm getting laughs in the background from my man, Louis, because he, I believe, is Irish a little bit. And man, which one is it?
Yeah, so I'm with him. My wife's a Catholic from Northern Ireland, and depends on who you ask is dependent on how they answer that question. So it's either Northern Ireland as the UK or the north of Ireland because they're Irish.
We speak construction here and we also speak politics. So
go on the next podcast. We'll leave that one out. So I guess, yeah, the influence of social media has been massive for me. Personally, we've been able to go to the UAE, so Dubai, Sharjah, Abu Dhabi, recently Northern Ireland as well. So we've been able to do a small job there, which is a new segue for me personally and for the business. And you're right, just from at the time as well, this is the craziest part, I only had about 1,500 followers on Instagram. This is these vanity metrics we talk about all the time. I only had 1,500 followers. I was putting out content, started a conversation with a bloke, and it led to me hopping on a plane, hand in my pocket, hopped on the plane, straight to Dubai. And
I'm coming.
I'm in. Let's do this. It was August. So August is the hottest time of the year. It's 50-odd degrees there. I land, full backpack, full of camera gear, get off the airport, message the guy. I've never met the guy before. Right, one phone call. Go outside. There's a big Land Cruiser there. I'm like, oh, sweet, let's go. He's like, no, jump in this Corolla. So we jump in this Corolla, blacked out windows, Habibi, get in the car. And, you know,
You're about to lose a kidney.
I'm Middle Eastern as well, right, background. But, you know, I think I'm somewhat safe. Doors closed, everyone's smoking in the car, windows up.
Hell yeah, they are.
Hell yeah, 140 Ks an hour straight out to the desert.
How we like it. And now you're getting chopped up.
I'm thinking halfway there, I've got no phone signal. I didn't put the roaming pack on my phone, so I totally stuffed that up. So I had no way of calling anybody or messaging my wife to say, hey, honey, I'm okay.
I might also not be okay soon.
I'm only missing one foot. I've still got the other. But, yeah, it was extreme. So we get out of the car and we're filming 95-ton machines and dozers and loaders.
So tell me, like, these jobs that you went to, because I know you've done some fucking cool ones. Some of that construction and what they do over there, oil and gas money is different money.
It's different. The projects are very different.
And back to the political side, Australia could have the oil and gas money if we wanted to, if we stopped giving it away for free. But, you know, they keep it. They spend it on themselves. They, if you're an Emirati,
yes.
If you are a native Emirati, yes. You are one rich dude.
Yeah, I believe. I don't know too much about that, but I do believe they are well looked after. Note to our politicians and government. So we jump off this Corolla, right? We get out, just to go back to the story and not get into politics too much.
No, I like it. We keep pulling me back to construction.
We jump out of the car. There's a million machines to film. I don't know which way I'm going, so I'm going, great, let's just go after these loaders and bits and pieces. 51 degrees. Within 3 or 4 hours, I got heat stroke and had to go wrap up the day, first day ever. So, but the content you would have seen come from it, amazing. It was that, you know, I got that excited that I went back out that night and we did the video that everyone's seen where I'm walking towards the big long reaches dipping in the ocean. So it was.
And what's the job doing? What's
so
that job?
So that job, they were building. So the company, first of all, is Al Marwan Heavy Machinery. They have over 3,000 pieces of plant that they hire out in the Middle East. Over 3,000. That's being like nice about it. They're probably the largest in their space. And we were doing it. They were doing a project where they were building jetties and piers for a new beach. So, yes, as you do. So a Chinese vessel would come in, drop a heap of boulders into the ocean.
Yep.
They'd roll out these 95 tons with the 26-meter booms and start dipping in the ocean, just picking up and piecing together jetties 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Their progress is undeniable. It's the same as China and stuff like that. Like, you know, they're already ahead of us with what they do, and they are motoring, leaving us behind with, you know, concrete pours at 2 o'clock in the morning outside of my hotel at places, you know, because I got kicked out of, I was in Abu Dhabi and got kicked out of the airport because my flight got delayed and stayed there for a day and a half. Mm-hmm. A concrete pour at 2 a.m., like just randomly.
Yeah.
Going, then I couldn't sleep, went out, they're fixing a road. And it's not like a big night work road job. Nah, this is guys pouring footpath at 2 o'clock because they have to because it gets so hot during the day.
They stop work between 12 and 3 or 12 and 4 during summer. It's insane.
So you've got just this progress that's just like killing it. And you get to go there from Sydney.
And capture it.
Now, why? Why did they choose you? Or you still haven't quite figured that part out?
Let's be honest. I haven't figured it out. I have a theory. I mean, I was only a small fish at the time as well. Like I said, 1,500 followers, not really anyone. I think it was more about the relationship, what I could bring to them, the quality, the content. They have a marketing team of 16 people, by the way. Like they have a full videography team across, they've got multiple businesses, not just the heavy machinery sector, the Al Marwan company. But yeah, I think it's just what ground level could bring to them and what my passion, I think they saw through. I was really excited to be there. I had no expectation on getting paid. I just wanted to turn up, have a look, have a crack, and it's led to some serious opportunities with them. And now I go 2 or 3 times a year. I was there three weeks ago. I was in Abu Dhabi and there.
We were going to film this and you were over there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like I've been speaking to companies, a similar sort of thing, really big company. They have a marketing team of 6 people. Their marketing is terrible, terrible, like bad. And they come and they're like, oh, what do we need to do? And you're like, well, construction people like to engage with construction level marketing.
Yeah.
Corporate level marketing isn't really going to work. Your flashy, smooth, nice, glossy stuff, you know, it's not really going to drive any engagement. But in saying that, driving engagement is just one thing, these vanity metrics you're talking about. Mm-hmm. What sales are we making from it?
Exactly.
Every sort of 3, 4, 5 months, I'll put a post up on LinkedIn. This is what I've got available. This is what I want. Who's got what? Mm-hmm. So far, mostly fuck all has came.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly. But then when you look at it from the other side, a lot. My company growth has to be at some point connected to social media growth.
You answered this already when you went into a meeting yesterday and somebody in the team said, I love what you're doing with women in construction.
Yep.
Now, that could be the difference between you winning or not winning that tender.
Yeah, correct. And you'll never know.
You'll never know.
And you can never put it down to it. But I'll tell you what, for me, I bought pink machines for my daughters. If I can get them more involved in my company and more engaged with it, that's the win. Following on from that, if they are engaged and they do want that, then that means that when they walk into my workplace, they can't be the only girl here.
100%.
And in which case, that means I've got to practice what I preach. And if I'm buying pink diggers for girls, then I need to support women in construction overall, so that I have a workplace that is supportive for my children and what it is. And then it's sort of grown from there. Is it like this organic growth? Like, I didn't start beating a drum for, you know, like me, I want to employ all of the girls. But I'll tell you what, I fucking halfway beat it now. You know, like, I've got some of the killers in the game. They're killers. Yeah. Work for me. They're women. And I'm really lucky to have them. And where does it come from? It comes from this thing that sits down and says, I was taking my two-year-old back then, sort of a decade ago, to a job site, and there was no toilet for me to take her to. She was just with me. There was no girls' toilet. And then you go, well, I'm in charge of the fucking toilets here, and I haven't bought a girls' toilet here because I didn't have any girl operators on the site, but that doesn't mean shit.
Why? It's changed now.
Fucking oath it has.
Change now.
And that's probably there was a bit of a catalyst moment where, you know, like I started taking this little baby to work, and then she doesn't have a clean place to piss, and it's my job site. Like, what sort of idiot am I?
Yeah,
you know.
And that led to now, you know, where you're at with women in construction, really making headway with it.
But it's also one of those things that, you know, like, it just employ good people. That's it, across the board, just employ good people. Remove any stigmas around any part of it and just say, right, we want to, like, if the pathway is there for them in any way, they've still got to be a good worker. They're still as accountable as anyone else. They're still, responsible for anything. Mm-hmm. But we got pink diggers to tell them that we're open for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So continue on with what's been happening, and then you went to Northern Ireland. What did you do there?
We captured a local trucking business. It was something quite small, but a small step in the right direction. So we were able to get involved and have a bit of a look around, had a bunch of conversations with companies while I was there.
The thing is Ireland, you couldn't get much further away. Like, you've pretty much flown to the other side of the earth.
I married an Irish woman. Be careful, she'll probably watch this.
No, they will. She will. Sorry, they.
There is a they too. There's a big community of them out here. Be careful.
Is it?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think
Irish community is big, is it?
Now you're being silly now, aren't you? In Sydney, it's massive for construction.
You're either Middle Eastern or Irish driving diggers. I am being silly. And we even had I just wasn't thinking here. I even had an Irish guy on the podcast coming to film from Paul for doing recruitment. What?
That's definitely got to make the cut.
Nah, that's got to stay in.
That's got to stay in. Yeah. So
isn't that like Australian and New Zealand, but like even closer?
I think, but the rivalry is even worse. Huh. Maybe depending. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Same shit. If you're offended by it, I didn't really mean it because I don't care.
Jimmy loves Irish people.
I and Scottish. I love all people.
All right, so my wife she's Irish, from Ireland, born and raised, came out here 12 years ago, met the love of her life, me, settled down.
Best thing that ever happened to her.
Settled down, had a couple of half Lebanese, half Irish children running around now, so we decided it was time to go home for her to meet. We haven't been back to a family that hadn't met my children.
Fantastic.
Half her family's here, but the other half hadn't. So I decided let's go while we had a bit of a break, and then, of course, me being me, started researching what companies are there in Northern Ireland and who does what and who can I call and what can I see.
What's it look like over there?
At the moment, it's amazing. For construction, you mean in general? Mm-hmm. It's getting better. It's a lot better than what it was. Everybody left about 10, 12 years ago when it was a bit of a recession.
A lot of a recession, I believe.
But the people that are coming, people are coming back now in droves. There is a lot of work. It is picking up. But obviously, it's a different type of work. because it's raining all the time.
But they're muck shifting. I talked to some guys from over there. Yeah. They call it muck shifting, their bulk earthwork sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. They do some serious stuff over there.
They do some serious stuff, yeah.
I follow along a company called Collins.
Collins.
I don't know if they're from Ireland or England or wherever. I think they'd end up doing the whole lot. Because isn't it like the size of maybe Victoria and New South Wales?
Well, ask the Irish guy. 6 hours one way to each way of the country. You could go across in six or eight hours. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not like you can just be one. Or you can't, but surely not. Someone will tell me once they watch this video,
the comments will be like,
you don't know shit.
He doesn't.
I don't know shit, but that's okay. I'm willing to learn. But I watch Collins and they're pretty impressive outfit.
Mm. Yeah, so we were approaching – I took the same methodology we did in Australia when we started. I went for the smaller guys.
Yep.
Because they're the guys that would benefit the most, small to medium tier, sub 20 million turnover companies. And just said, hey, I'm in the country. I'd love to talk to you. This is what I do. Once again, the power of social media, flicked them my profile and just said, this is what we do. Door opened. Come in and have a chat.
I've actually got a friend I've been speaking to for about 10 years over there that once we get off of this, I'll link you up. He would definitely partake in a little bit of...
Because we could be going back at Christmas, which is the...
He'd definitely do it.
He's, unreal.
Yeah, just remind me at the end, but I won't say who he is because he might be like, I'm not fucking doing that.
I'm not doing that.
No, but I think he would because you have to have the right sort of company too, with the right owner, with the right mentality, because it's breaking. It seems like at the start, especially with my social media stuff, I was not one of the first ones, but I was an early adopter of posting shit.
Yep.
When most other people wouldn't post it, too scared of work safe, too scared of compliance, too scared that, people steal their jobs.
Challenges we have every day in filming is that stuff.
Now, they are stealing your jobs regardless of putting it on the internet.
100%.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed-sponsored jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed-sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Work safe, responsibility is there whether you are taking a photo of it or not. Be mindful what you're taking photos of how it looks. However, your responsibilities are there and you are accountable whether someone's filming there at that moment or not.
You touch on something really good there is people are scared to put stuff on because my competitor will see what I'm doing.
No shit.
They already know. They're already driving past the job site. They know what's going on.
What, you're pouring concrete so different? Or you're loading a truck different than what I am. Each truck takes 10 tons.
Yeah, they're worried that someone's going to see what they're doing, come in and go, I can do it at 10% cheaper. Off they go. In comes the new guys. It shouldn't be about that. It should be that if you're doing a good enough job and your relationship is solid, the contract will last and you will continue that job.
But this is business 101.
Mm.
That filming it and putting it online is not going to change it. Now, they will try and steal it. You can give them an easier pathway to steal it if you're putting it online. But if your business is robust, good word that one, robust, if it is, it should be able to weather that storm. Just because some random dude calls up and says, hey, I noticed your project online. We're doing a special on per square meter of concrete. And if you go with us, we'll give you steak knives. Any good person that you're working
see
for
through
is
that
say,
and go, no, I'm friends with Jimmy. I know what he's doing. He's doing a great job.
Yep.
Don't care. He's $10 a square meter more.
Yep.
He's doing what I need to do, and we'll get it done. They've got their budgets. They already know. We do the same thing. We put it online, and originally we were like, oh, should we put this? We've only got these guys, and if this guy over here comes, he'll come in at $500 cheaper, and we're gone. And I just made the call. put it online.
Everything online.
Put it online as much as we can that we're allowed to. There's stuff we're not. There's a lot of stuff we're not allowed to.
I run into the same thing.
We're on some of the larger projects like the Western Harbour Tunnel and the Sydney Airport.
Wait, what's the one that's stopped now? Is that the tunnel?
Metro. That's one of the metros, isn't it, in Sydney? Yeah,
yeah, the metro. They've got a sinkhole. Mm. Makes absolutely no sense.
I don't know anything about it. I stay well away from that one, that's for sure. So we are on the Western Harbour Tunnel, for clarity. We're on the Athiona-based project. And
so that's the one. They're drilling from both sides, aren't they?
Yeah,
is that the one?
It's from Cremorne to – I'm going to check this because I got it wrong. But, yeah, it's from both sides. They're doing the tunnel boring machine at the moment.
Yeah.
And the TBMs are arriving this week on a boat. So the tunnel boring machines have been built in China. They're shipping them across to Australia and they're going to build them here and drop them into the hole and then we're going down with them. And we're
cool.
Yeah, that's about as much as I can say about
it. Just imagine, like 3 years ago, when I think about this sometimes, 3 years ago, if someone had said to you, you're going to go into a shaft, I'll give you some technical jargon here, you're going to go into the shaft, follow the TBM and maybe see the road header or whatever that's been doing the cavern because they need
to. So we've been doing the road headers for the last 6 months. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
And you'd go, what? And then they go, and then you're going to talk about going filming some shit in Northern Ireland, going to be on a podcast, got to do this. You just go,
No.
Wow.
No, 3 years ago, 3 years ago today, the 20th of August, 22, we started ground level from my garage.
I just want you to also think about just I'm leaning back here because I'm doing a good job today. You told me that before and I'm leaning you all the way back into the start because that's a pretty cool thing that you get to sit here 3 years later and say, you know, we film in Abu Dhabi. We go do a little job in Northern Ireland.
We're prospecting out there. We're getting noticed. It's amazing. I mean, we had the idea. My daughter was 18 months old. My son wasn't born yet and I've been in a career of marketing for 15 years in the construction space and I just wanted a little bit more for her. Actually, I wanted more time at home instead of traveling a lot. Guess what? Joke's on her. It's now the opposite. But
killed it.
But I said, screw this. I want to do something that I'm really passionate about and I want to give it a crack because I'm not going to get another chance. So we started ground level. I had a desk set up in my garage. It'd be unreal because you'd be working away in a meeting and the garage door would pop up and in would come the wife with the car and the kids and it was all happening.
Did you have an argument? Like, you are not allowed to come inside.
No, the best one was my old man was staying over one time and we're in a meeting at the owner trying to win the first contract. Nobody come in the garage, please. This was 18 months ago. Probably
it's so important.
Please, guys, don't come in. My old man comes in the background because we had beer in the fridge. My dad loves beer. Opens the door. Hello, everybody. And walks off, gets a beer and comes back and goes and walks off. I won the contract, mate. He thinks it's because of him, but it was really because of him.
And it's so challenging because, like, I think that one of the reasons that I win a contract in some of them is because I will genuinely sit down, deliver on what I'm saying, but I will say, if you need someone to help you organise these sorts of things, I'll take it off of your plate. I will put more into this than my competitor will, and I will deliver a better service.
Yep.
I haven't gotten here at the age that I am from one little tiny machine to moving hundreds of thousands of cubic metres by being shit.
No, not at all. And that's what they saw with us. And I think leaning back into it, so 3 years ago we're in the garage, 18 months on from that, we hadn't earned a dollar. We were just turning over. It's one of those things, is it ever going to go? And then, I'm poor as. We got all this cool camera gear like in here. You got every camera under the sun, but you're still not making any money. And then in the last, say, 12 months, it's really hit its stride and we've put on three people, we're growing, traveling, because it's also a year almost since we're in Dubai for the first time. So it's a wild ride, but it's been unbelievable.
So I didn't make money for more than 10 years.
Mm.
More than 10 years. We were turning over 100 grand a week and I was poor. Mm. More than 100 grand a week, actually. I was still poor.
Mm.
It wasn't until the very start of COVID because we were just growing so fast all the time.
Everything costs.
And then you're having to dump it all back in. Like, you know, I'm not calling up my dad asking him for a loan. You know, my dad's more likely to ask me for a loan. Yeah. You know, the bank won't give you money because you go there and, you know, you rock up money in work boots.
Yeah. You got no money on the books. You're turning over all this money, but what do you have? Yeah. It's,
and then one day, like, COVID came and stopped it and stopped the work. And so the work stopped. And so then my money all came back in and it hadn't all gone back out for the first time in a decade. Like that Anthony Ring who was on last week, I used to ring him up and that bloke used to save my ass. I used to say to him on a Tuesday ringer, I got to pay 50 grand's worth of trucks tomorrow and I ain't got the cash. I need 20. And that bloke could transfer me 20 grand.
Unreal.
Unreal. That's business. That is the relationship and everything else like that, you know. And so when you people say, I don't make money, it's because the growth eats it.
It's happening to us. You know? It is, yeah. It's just it's enough.
I explain it to a lot of people. So if you double every year and it's doubling your turnover from 100 grand to 200 grand or 500 grand to a million, it's very easy to do at that smaller scale. But that's 10% a month.
Yeah.
And if you're growing at 10%, it's a bit less, 8%. But if you're only profiting 10, but growing at 10, guess what? You're broke. You got no money.
Yeah.
And that just is this constant thing. It happened to me for 10 years. 10 years I had no money.
We're in those trenches, mate. It's true. It's how many videos you need to do a month and how many customers do you need to have and how many retainers you got to have and how many metrics do you need to meet and then how many staff do we need to hit that? So you've put on we've got some shit hot guys now that make me look horrible. Like they look at me and go,
you're looking shit actually right now.
Yeah, thanks, man. No problem. But you know what I mean? Lens, not my face. This is all, I can't help this. But yeah, and you put them on because they're an investment to the future of the brand and the business. So, you know, it's costing us now, but if we're continuing these levels,
there's nowhere to learn it. There's nowhere that says to you, hey, excavation or marketing 101, right? Start off like this, be in your garage, have your dad piss you off getting a beer out the fridge. These are the things you'll go through. Then all of a sudden, go to Northern Ireland, go to Dubai.
Yeah.
Or in my case, start off with a 2-ton, buy a truck, buy more trucks, employ an office girl, you know, go buy a 250 grand digger and have no work for it and have it sit in your – it's sat in a paddock for 3 months with no work.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even worried. But now I think back how stupid I must have been to buy that.
It's the investment in your future, and that's what we're currently going through. There's a heap of stuff that I'd love to tell you that I can't, but there's a few surprises. It is one of those things that you just need to – you look back and you go, I did this, you know what I mean? And you've done well, clearly.
I can remember actually a photo came up. It was like 17 years ago or 16 years ago on Facebook. It was last week or 2 weeks ago. I went to Newcastle and I bought a 14-ton digger. And I rocked up. And looking back, listen to this. The guy had dropped it next to the road under power lines. There was no job there. And I flew up there to look at it, this 9,000-hour-old 14-ton for 100 grand when I didn't have 10 grand. I probably didn't even have 1 grand. But he dropped it under power line so I couldn't drive it. I was so dumb and naive that he told me there was a job there and I went, oh, yeah, cool, no problem. And so I'm standing there and I'm on the phone because there was no FaceTime back then. I was on the phone to one of my friends, Jason, asking him what I should look for when I'm pulling the oil. Yeah. Then I said, he goes, oh, undo the cap, check the hydraulic oil filter. I had no tools. I'd just flown there.
Did you buy it?
Bought it. Hawaii. Came back, sat in the paddock for 3 months, killed it, and then got a phone call first job on Australia Day saying, will you come now? Yes. And I was at my mate's house. I just rocked up. I had esky with used to drink a lot of Coca-Cola back then, esky with Coca-Cola, and I used to smoke a heap of cigarettes.
Combo.
What a combo. Dropped them, went straight back home, worked and slept at the job for 2 days.
Unreal.
Ended up working for that company we still work for them now. They're probably still $1 million a year turnover customer.
So it's funny to see that, you know, even that hustle back then you've still got now. And I think that drives back to what we were talking about earlier was the passion for what you do. You still got it. That's probably the difference between you and the next guy.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the difference between what we do and the next guy is. You can ask me all day long. Like, I walked in this room, what did I start talking about as soon as I walked in?
Love it. Oh. You two were like, I won't get too into the description of what you two were doing.
Don't make it weird.
I won't make it weird. But like, it's I talk diggers all day, you know. Like, you guys started talking cameras, what you like, what you do. I know that I listened. You said, oh, you – Louis said, I want this camera. And you go, oh, I have this camera. It's a little bit cheaper, does pretty much the same thing, same, I don't know, fucking frame rate or whatever.
It's the exact same camera. Just that's, putting it out there.
That,
buy that one, man.
That's how I talk about diggers.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. Like, one of the reasons I like these Chinese diggers, I'll talk Chinese digger all day compared to other ones. Isuzu motor, these pumps, you know, then the big ones run a Scania. They've got a 15-litre, 12-litre, 9-litre. You know, I'm all about it.
You're passionate. Yeah.
People often ask me how I'm still hungry. I've got no idea. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you, still starving.
Yeah.
Early to meetings, you know, want the job, care about the job.
Yeah.
On the phone last night to my number one builder, he's actually such a good friend of mine now, but number one builder at 10 p.m.
Working out the next job.
Working out the next job, you know, sitting down, talking shit, but also getting it done. And I've talked to you late at night about your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just
in you. Yeah. If you care about what you do, it's not really a job anymore, is it? It's more just something you...
Yeah.
You know, my wife often says, you're not just Andrew from ground level. You know that, right? And I'm like, no, I am.
Yeah, that is part of what I am and who I am and what I do. Like Starbuck, the company, has definitely came part of my identity.
Yeah.
For both a good and a bad way. Like last night, posted up a podcast, me and a friend. All of our friends started texting about it. I was on the phone for 2 hours last night. I put up the post at 6, so that takes me to 8 p.m. I wake up at 5. I'm going to bed at 9, 10 o'clock, maybe 10:30.
Yeah.
But so that was my whole night, sitting down talking about a podcast online.
But it's about your work. It's what you care about. Could be worse things to talk about, couldn't there?
Well, not only could it be worse and worse things to talk about, but I could be at the pub.
Yeah.
I could care a whole heap about a football team and know every single metric about them that doesn't make me nothing, doesn't leave anything to my kids.
That's right.
But in saying that, if you really like football, like mazel tov, you know, go for it. Like, everyone has to have their horses for courses.
Yep.
You know, my thing is digging, your thing's marketing, and their thing might be supporting Richmond Football Club.
Yeah.
Or whatever footy club.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know anything about footy, but I say Richmond because we've been providing trucks. They're demolishing their home ground, and we've been giving trucks to them. So
shout out to Richmond supporting Starbuck. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Deconstruct, for supporting Starbuck.
Thank you. Right, so back to it. Social media. Do you think that you would be as? How do I frame this? Do you think social media has given you a platform to be more successful in the construction industry since you've been doing it for the last 10 years? Do you think it's added value? I know you can't say the dollar figure because you don't know these things. But
1 year, $2 million on 10 million we did from direct social media. I couldn't believe it. So anyone who wants to know if social media did anything, 1 year only was 20% of my revenue.
Yeah.
Okay, that
there
is, you thought I didn't have the metrics, but I couldn't believe what we were tracking.
Yeah.
So that means that maybe it was, so we have to attribute some of the turnover because an employee came from it or a truck came from it. I run a subcontractor-based company, you know, so I think it was that year we had like 50% of our subcontractors came from social media marketing, ads, everything else.
Yeah. So that if you spent, you know, if the average guy spends 30 grand a year on a media company if they don't have it themselves, or 60 grand if they want to go nuts, and they win a $1 million or $2 million job.
I actually had a gravy thing, and it was going to be the, what's that French, like piece de resistance, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I priced a $20 million job that the guy contacted me and said, hi, following along your socials, I have a job that I think you'd be perfect for.
There you go.
I fucking lost it, though. I didn't win.
You're in the conversation for it, though.
Yeah. So imagine that had it came off, and then you're going to sit down and all of these people are going to be like, oh, I don't think you should invest in social media. And I'm like, here's the message from the dude.
Yeah.
here's the job that we did, and I'd said it, we were real close. It ended up being a little bit out of our scope for what we did, but we were trying real hard to win it. And he was probably not right, but he went with a much safer option to go with someone else to do it.
Like, because you're in the conversation.
$20 million gig in sort of, I won't say the exact timeline but there's not too many $20 million gigs out there, but in a really short time frame, we were home and hosed. In fact, we're probably one of the best in Melbourne to deliver one scope line item.
Yep.
But then there was a few outside scope line items that I was bringing in others. But just imagine that journey that you get to see. Imagine what that would say about social media. Here's the message. Here's the tender. Here's the process. Here's all of the filming of the job. And that came from
social media.
Social media and that resume that I have out there. Which is another reason I do this stuff. It builds a trust.
That's what I was going to ask you next, is where is this going for you? I watch your stuff.
Yes.
I love it. Yep. I've been obviously talking to you for a few years now. Actually, probably two. Where do you see your podcast? Where do you see your socials? What is your plan for this? Because we don't have to give me the details.
Exactly, but it's something I think about a lot. The content is changing. Content is changing, and I read an article that really resonated with me about personal branding, that founders and business owners have a short window and a short chance to influence their market by putting themselves out there, which is why I started. So I've got to close to the top of the market, let's say in Australia, for what my Starbuck Group's branding is. There's no more content I can really film. Everyone knows what I do. Everyone's seen a million holes in the ground, and now all of my competitors are posting their holes, and the noise is just there. I'm one of the noise now. So how do you elevate yourself above the noise? I've read this article, which means that my personal branding journey is actually going to take over from the Starbuck journey.
Yep.
Because of the fact that I'd have 10 to 15,000 photos of Starbuck.
Oh, yeah.
And not one person gives a fuck. Don't get me wrong, still has to be there. You still have to post it.
Still have to put it out there, yeah.
But you need something. It's not that no one gives a fuck. You have to have it, because if you don't have it, there's no point in doing that. But
it's just changing. It's not that no one cares. It's that the attention span is now shorter.
Yeah.
There's so much noise in the market. Like, even for us, there's so many other content creators now. Like, someone goes and buys a $1,000 camera and markets themselves copying what you do, and then they move on, and it becomes that you have to create something that your audience resonates with and that works for the clients that you're going after. And I think podcasting is for yourself is definitely the way to go.
We did pretty well. We had we've had a fair few. Well, I think we have 5,000 on a podcast from 2 weeks ago, or close to, isn't it, Louis? Now I think 4,000 or 5,000 on a podcast in 2 weeks of unique listens.
Yeah,
that's starting to be a decent podcast. You know, like in the construction space.
100%.
I'm not talking Kim Kardashian, or I'm not talking who's that other guy, Paul. Who's the two brothers that the young podcasters? I don't know. Whatever.
I'm more of a Joe Rogan kind of
podcast. It's never going to be a Joe Rogan, but in terms of construction, I'm going to keep doing it. I want to get to 50 episodes is the thing, and then we're going to do a stock take then, because I don't believe in half doing something. You got to do it full. And 50 episodes. I'll be a good interviewer by then. We'll have a good setup. We'll have a good, spread, voice, whatever.
I think this is not a bad setup to keep it going to 50, mate. I wouldn't be looking at what I've been around in.
And then we'll see how it goes. But there's definitely some opportunities coming from it. There's some good people who I'm going to interview. I've had a lightning bolt moment that I have a friend who can get me a bit of a celebrity in here that I think that will be really good if I can get that. But pivoting to be a thought leader is what it is in terms of this space. Is it going to help Starbuck Group, help Jimmy Starbuck, or whatever it might be. I don't know. I know that it's a direction that I'm moving in, and when I say I'm going to do something, I do it. But you'd probably know more about thought leadership and branding and personal branding than I do.
Yeah, I think you are moving in the right direction. It is the – you're exactly right. There is too much noise. You are in the right place. The difference between you and, say, the next thought leader in your space, I'd say, is that you have the experience and the stories to back it up. Mm. So if you are thinking of going down this path, you must have substance to what you do. Yeah. You must have a history. It's not just like, I'm going to walk outside tomorrow and talk about this, because you're not. And I think over the next 5 or 6 years, that's going to be the difference between you and your competitors, that you've got people can have direct access to the owner of the business, sharing his story, sharing the successes and the failures and what means to be a Starbuck. And I think that's...
Going to buy a machine that's under power lines? Like, what an idiot. Yeah, I still mean, cringe at... Now, the machine was all good.
Oh, so it did work.
The machine was good.
I assumed it didn't.
No. Yeah. I thought I'd better finalise that story and close the loop. The machine was okay. It worked. The tracks were a little bit fucked, but it was okay. But the naivety, whatever the word is, the stupidity of me to go, oh, yeah, I think the guy's name was like John or something. Oh, yeah, John, no problem. It's under power lines and I can't steer it, move it, do anything. He's like, be careful starting it. Just lift the boom up and off of the ground
Just two or 3 inches and that's it. You know, don't do anything.
It was next to a road and a gate in like the verge underneath a power line, and there's cars like zooming up and down. And I thought that he'd done a job. Like, what an idiot.
I'm glad that one worked out, because I thought the end of that story was it didn't work.
No, it was all good. But we've got 5 minutes left. We try and keep it about an hour. So tell me anything else that you wanted to talk about. I think we've covered off most of the things.
A lot. I guess, do you have a quick question for me about anything about water?
What's happening with ground level? Where are you looking to go and what are you looking? But give yourself a little bit of a plug at the end of it, because it's important too, You come down here and invest some time. I approached you actually about this because I thought you'd be great. You know, I watch your stuff. You're one of the premier content people of Australia, I think. People can do a lot worse than engaging with you. So give us a little bit of a plug, where you're going and what you're doing, and then we'll finish up.
Yeah, look, thank you for that. That was actually really nice. Ground level, we do content for construction, infrastructure and heavy machinery. We love it. We love seeing a brand start from something small and becoming something quite big, winning their first job, winning their 10th job. Or just in changing something about the way they operate. Where we're going, mate, I think we're going to be here for a while in Australia. A couple opportunities for overseas are happening, lining up, as everybody knows. Yeah,
you're worldwide now. Worldwide marketer.
I don't like to talk about myself. You know, it's starting to go red a little bit.
Prestige, I think, worldwide.
I guess the one message that I have to the audience out there is, if you don't feel comfortable showcasing your project or your company or what you're doing to grow it, somebody else will. And, you know, it's never really too late to start.
There we go. That's a little bit of a clip right there. Yeah. Well, Andrew, thanks very much.
I'll shake
your hand. I appreciate you coming in. As always, because I get told to do this at the end, like, subscribe, comment, engage in any way with this please and thank you. It does help. And if you can think of anyone who you would like to come on, please email me, DM me, text, phone call, whatever. And if you know anyone as well who you think would benefit coming on here, I'd love to have them. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
On to the next one.